Yes, ma'am. Hold one second. The Honorable Mr. Johnson will serve as your service, your lead, so just hold on. He'll be right with you.
Good morning. Could you just state your name, your ADC number first, please? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Could you please state your name and your ADC number first, please?
320-238, Thomasita Sangster.
Okay, Ms. Sangster. You're appointed for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your panel lead today. Also with us, representative of the Department of Corrections, is Mr. Turner. Ms. Singster, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of this board's hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form?
I'm sorry?
Prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of this board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yeah.
Okay. On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or were you representing yourself today?
No.
No. Are you representing yourself today, Ms. Singster?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you going to be representing yourself today?
Yes, sir.
Okay. At this time, I want to swear you in. You do have two supporters here. I'm not sure if they're both going to speak. Ms. Karina?
Yes. And that's my mother.
Okay. And your son is here. Are both of you speaking?
Huh?
I was asking your mom. Your son is here too, Adrian.
Okay, I'm sorry. So I can't really hear you on the phone.
Is there a volume on your phone that you can cut up?
Yeah, I could barely hear you.
Is there a volume on your phone that you could cut up?
Oh, yeah. The volume is up. I'm just having a hard time hearing you.
This? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay. All right. At this time, I'd like to swear you in and Ms. Cormier, what is your last name?
My last name?
Your mom's last name. What is it?
Arthur.
Okay. Ms. Arthur, are you going to be speaking? Okay. Is Adrian going to be speaking? No? Okay. At this time, I'd like to swear all three of you in at this time. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Ms. Simpson? Ms. Simpson?
Oh, yes, sir.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, you? Sir.
Okay. Ms. Arthur?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Turner?
I do.
Okay. Ms., your hearing today is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read the allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false, or whether you want to take the bill, because I see that you do have a booking number and a DR number, departmental report number, attached to your warrant. The reason that you get the opportunity to take the fifth is that these hearings are tape recorded, and anything said in these hearings could or may be subpoenaed in by either of the attorneys at a later date, okay?
Okay.
All right. The allegation on the warrant states that you violate the Arizona condition of supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement, physical assaultive behavior on or about August 9, 2018 at 7720 North Pinto Street in Sun Valley, Arizona. Is that
yes.
True, false, or you want to take a film?
Yes, it's true.
Okay, thank you. All right, then, based on the admission of Ms. Sangster, I'm going to move to find that she was delinquent, she did violate the terms and conditions of the supervision, and that she may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Agree.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. The Rittenhouse of Reed, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Mill, and Dr. Wright. Okay, we got government phase two in here. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you in the community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner. Then we're going to come back to you and go over some information, and then get any information that you'd like to present to the board. And then we're going to hear from your supporter, your mother, Ms. Arthur, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Ms. Sangster was released from ADC custody on 7-19-2018 and arrested on 8-9-2018 by the Navajo County Sheriff's Office on misdemeanor charges of disorderly conduct and domestic violence. She was returned back to ADC custody on 8-14-2018 with a CSED of 216-2019 zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2016, commitment A, count 1, aggravated assault, 1 year. 2016, commitment B, count 1, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. She has no prior convictions. This is her first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2-2. Mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 3. There is no STD information noted, no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is minimal. Other arrests, 2004, disorderly conduct, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2004, dangerous drug violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2004, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2014, disorderly conduct, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. She has a GB score of G2, V1. Status of charges for the Navajo County Justice Court, she has a failure to appear warrant on her disorderly conduct charge.
Sir, I see that when you were released, you were approved to reside with your mother, Ms. Arthur, at 7720 North Pinto Street in Sun Valley, Arizona.
Yes.
You were still staying there at the time you were arrested, is that correct?
I'm sorry?
You were still living there at the time you were arrested?
Yes.
And you, were you married during that period of time?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Were you working during that period of time?
No, when I did get out, I used to work at Mr. Mestis, and when I got out, she said that I could have my job back, but when I had called her and I asked her if I'd be able to work, she wanted me to take a few days off, or at least like a few weeks, a few months, but I told her I needed to go back to work, but she didn't have a spot open for me, so during the time that I was out, I did put in applications at fast food restaurants. I did put in applications with a host, like housekeeping, and I was also waiting for waiting for the job opening for, it's called like Smith and Son. It's like a pig farm. It's a really good job. It's they hire felons, and they have benefits, and it's something that I need for my kids, you know, and that's the position I've been waiting to open.
Okay, so I see that you, it looks like that your PO has directed you to enroll in a behavioral health center for anger management classes.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
I'm sorry?
Did you ever enroll for anger management classes at the behavioral health center?
Yes, I did. So because I'm Native American, and for me to do that, I went to Winslow and I took my sister to the hospital because she needed me to be there with her while I was in Winslow. I had that paper and I took it over to the behavioral health and I gave her my paper. But since we have such a big hospital with a lot of Native Americans, they had scheduled me an appointment. We can't just go in and do a walk-in. They have to schedule the appointment. So it was around the 20th of August I did that. I don't remember what day, but it's because I had made appointments for my kids that day as well. But I did have an appointment for that.
Okay.
And I do have the number if you do need to call them and verify it.
I'm going to take your word for it. So, Ms. Thompson, what happened with this incident? It looked like you and your sister got into a fight?
Yeah, we got into a fight. It's very embarrassing for me to talk about, but during this whole time, because, like, I've gotten really close with my sister, I was talking to her about something that had happened with my daughter, and I was venting to her, and I talked to her about the whole thing, and then this was like right after she got off work, and she asked me if I can take her back to Holbrook to go look at her schedule, so I did. Took her to Holbrook, and while we were there, we ended up grabbing some beer. We came back home, and I started drinking with her. And when we were sitting outside, her dog kept jumping on me. And then finally I grabbed the dog and I moved it out of the way and I said, Noelle, stop. And then she looks over at me and then she just like, dude, don't do that to my dog. And she's like, don't do that. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm just moving him out of the way and he keeps jumping on me, Taylor. And she's like, don't do that. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, but he keeps jumping on me. And she's like, well, I don't do that to your kids. Don't do that to my dog. That's my baby. And I asked her, are you serious? And she just looked at me, and I was like, all right, fine, you know? And we just kind of, it was like already like, I could already feel the tension already. And I was letting her use my phone because her phone had been broken for 2 weeks. So every time she'd get off of work, I would always let her use my phone because her phone was broken. And she had my phone, and I was like, all right. You know, I said, I'm just going to go home. You know, just give me my phone, I'm going to go home. And she's like, hold on, you know, I'm still on your phone, whatever. And so I waited around for a minute, and I told her, I said, I'm going to go. I said, give me the phone, I'm going to go home. And then, you know, I'm looking at her, and I'm like, give me the phone. So I put my hand out to, you know, with my fist, or my palm faced up, and I'm like, give me the phone. And then she just pushes me, and then honestly she pushed me and we just started fighting, and yes, I did fight back, but during the time I noticed when we were fighting, I realized what was going on, and I told her to stop. I told her I didn't want to fight because I had just stopped and talking to her about a whole bunch of stuff because we're really close, me and my sister. And when I stood there and I told her to stop, and then by then the kids had come out, my grandma was sitting on the porch and everybody's telling her to stop. And she ends up, you know, I just gave up. I didn't want to be fighting my little sister. It's embarrassing. It's sad. I love her. And she ends up getting me on the floor, and she picks up a weight off the floor, and she just starts hitting me in the face with it right in front of my kids. And I'm trying to block it, so I'm covering my face, and then she just moves my arm out of the way, and she starts biting my cheek, and all I felt was just pain, like really bad pain on my cheek, so I started yelling, and by then, she wouldn't stop, so yeah, I was fighting her back. I was punching her. I was trying to push her off of me because she's biting my cheek. So I turn over, and I'm trying to get up because she's just like, I turn over to try to cover my face and my body, and she's biting my back. And my son goes behind her, and he hits her with the spoon, and he's like, get off my mom. And then she gets up, and she tells my son, like, she gets up and she points at him, and my son's only 11 years old, and she's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, Adrian. She's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
So, Miss Sunster. So,
huh?
When the police came, why were you the only one arrested?
I don't know. She was arrested as well.
Well, your sister was arrested. Both of you were arrested?
Yeah. We were both arrested.
Okay. So why were you drinking? You know you weren't supposed to be drinking.
Like I said, I think right now, like during that time, I was at one of my weakest points. I was grieving. I was confused. You know, like just a few weeks right before, I mean, like a few days before this had happened, I got a letter in the mail for my daughter, and my daughter. She's only 9 years old, and I open up the letter and I look at it, and it tells me that, you know, my daughter, that she missed her appointment, and I had just gotten out. They said she missed her appointment on 7/9, and they said my daughter had a tumor. And I didn't drink right off the bat when this happened. I didn't really tell any of my family because I felt a little betrayed, because I feel like I deserve to know what happened with my daughter, and nobody in my family had told me. So I was very hurt, and then when I seen her earlier that day, I asked her, I said, did you know Camille had a tumor? Did you know they pulled a tumor out? And I said, do you know? And she's like, no. And she's like, I didn't know. But when I was at home, I would always see my sister, you know, be hugging my daughter, caring her and loving her and just giving a lot of attention to her. And it bothered me. It hurt me. Like, why was I not the one to know when I'm her mom?
Okay. Let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. Seeing the board has no additional questions for you, I'm going to see if your mom, Ms. Arthur, if she would just come up to the podium and just state your name and go ahead and present any information you'd like to present to the board. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Karina Arvin. I'm Tammy's mom. I don't feel that Tammy intended to fight with Taylor. Taylor has a lot of anger issues. When I left homework at 3 o'clock this morning, I have papers that were important that I wanted to present to you guys. And I realized I had this in my car at the time I left at 3. And this is all I have. But Tammy was at home when this happened. Taylor walked to where Tammy was, and this happened at Tammy's house. On this report, it says where she lives and where it happened. Tammy was at home. She was making appointments for her kids. She was doing everything she was supposed to do. I even had a letter from Pam Estes where she was supposed to go back to work. She was talking. She was actually coming out of her little shell and telling me things that had happened to her that she was opening up to me.
So let me ask you a question. I want to just interrupt. Is Tammy Tomasita?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Tammy was starting to open up, and she was opening up to me about her childhood that I never knew. So I knew she was working on her life. Because that's a step. That's a step. And Taylor has a lot of anger issues. We've lost my dad, and everybody's blaming everybody, and Taylor's mad at the whole world. She's having a hard time accepting it. Taylor has a very bad drinking problem. Taylor has fought with me in the situation before. I have proof right here where I got arrested. Same thing with Tammy. I was defending myself. Taylor has fought with her sister Erin. Taylor has fought with her brother Cody. And I have all the police reports right here. Taylor's no longer allowed at the house. We are victims now. She's not allowed at the house anymore. She knows she can't come. She came with the sheriff's department and got all her belongings. I hate to see this happen to my family. And yes, I did keep the tumor away from Tammy because I felt that she's incarcerated and I'm taking care of the kids, so why do I have to bring more problems for her being locked up? I have the papers. I do have papers. I'm focused on my phone that her daughter had a tumor removed. And I felt like they need Tammy to know because she's powerless over the situation. It was up to me to take care of it, and I took care of it to the extent where I could. I wasn't hiding anything. I was going to talk to her about it, but I was letting her spend time with her kids first. Kids come first, and she loves her kids. She loves them very much. She's a single mom. The father does not play a role model. He was in federal prison. He got out over a year ago and has not come to contact the kids at all. I worked full-time on the manager at Carl's Jr., and at the time she came home, I put in a transfer to move down here because my youngest daughter graduated. I have 7 kids, and my baby grads at Mesa Community College, and I was going to transfer here and be with her, and I had to put that on hold. I just feel that Tammy is just too nice to her sister. She does love it. She's just too kind-hearted that she can't say no. She bought a new car. I do have pictures of my phone. Like I said, I've got the envelope and I left at 3 this morning. Taylor broke all the windows, slashed her tires. Her windows are all broken. I found the keys. I moved the car. I parked it. I put a sheet over it. Tammy was so happy. Her kids were so happy when she bought that car. They were cruising with it. She didn't have insurance. I didn't let them over. She was driving around listening to the music. They were laughing. They were happy. And she was waiting to get insurance. She didn't have enough time to get insurance in the car, get a title for the car, just driving around right there around the house, laughing and just having a good time with her kids. And I felt good about everything. I really don't think, like I said, Taylor fought with me. She beat me up. She bit me, and I have the report right here. And she did nothing wrong. But as a mother, when at the time when she's sober and needs mom, I'm going to be there for her. But now at this point, it got too far where she involved 10 little kids. She threatened him. She put my mom, who is disabled, who I also take care of, put her in a chokehold, so she's no longer allowed at our house. Tammy was just doing everything right. She was just trying to get her life back together, and I'm sorry that I did keep that from her. I just felt that she didn't need to know about it, because, like I said, she's powerless over that situation in there. There's nothing she can do. It just makes her time harder. The baby was okay. She was taken care of, and she was supposed to do follow-ups. She's got another son. They're both lying right now, because she had them so close apart. One just had a birthday. We had a big birthday party for him. The other one's coming up, and when he knows he had to go out, he wished that his mom was home. This is like the second time that she hasn't been there. But he's also got 1 ear smaller than the other, and the other one is big, and he can only hear one ear. She made appointments to Tuba City. Tuba said it's serious that I can't take them. I would have to be a legal guardian, I'm only temporary, so she has to be there with him to help him with his hearing aid, to put him in and everything. And the reason I only brought him today is because he needs new glasses. And I'm going to do the one-day service here. They don't have that in Holbrook. So he needs new glasses. And that's the reason I brought him. Usually I don't let them miss school. But I just don't think, Tammy's really at fault of this. Like I said, I have right here where Tammy got 2 or 3 charges on this for what she did. And I did have an envelope with all the pictures. I had a picture of Camille's tumor. I have some in my phone. I have pictures of Colodro, her son. 1 ear is slightly smaller than the other, and it's obvious. And he does need hearing aid. He can't see through his eardrum. And I just feel like she needs to be home with her kids. I'm just always working hard. So my mom is disabled, and I go to work at 4:30 in the morning. I have to come back at my break and get them to school. I live 12 miles out of town, and I'm just doing what I can. And I'm not going to sit here and, put all this on Tammy, because Tammy is responsible enough to know not to say. She needs to set boundaries to who she knows that she can't be around. I'm in recovery. I'm an alcoholic almost 5 years, and I don't hang out with old friends. I don't go to old places. I just do me. I go to the gym. I've lost over 100 pounds. I love my life. And I encourage my kids, you make that road that you live on. Is that the life you want to live? Regardless, just well, sometimes at times, while people are talking, so what? Regardless, they're going to talk, let them talk. You do you and your kids. And like I said, the kids don't have a father. All they have is Tammy.
So Tammy is not supposed to be drinking at all while she's on parole.
Yeah, I wasn't home at that time. When I came home, I had went to Flagstaff because I have another daughter that was having moved to Flagstaff that works at Flagstaff Medical Center. Didn't even know. I pushed Tammy. I pushed her to the gym. I pushed her, and I go to meetings, for my strength too. So once in a while, maybe if I can't help myself, I'm strong enough now to know my boundaries. But I can talk to somebody else and help them. So I attend meetings and I push her. Sometimes she'll drag about it, but she will, she'll, okay, let's go do this, mom, And I think I've been there and done it, and I pushed her, but like I went to Flagstaff that day. I didn't know this yet happened when I came in. I was just furious. I left the kids and went to bed. I mean, tried to go to bed. Because I go to work, I get up at 3 in the morning every morning, and I go to work, at work at 4:30 in the morning, come back, I get up, take my break, make sure they got off to school, fix their hair. And by the time I get up at work, at 2, they come off the bus, I wait for them at the bus, and then I take them home. That's my life every day, okay. Be there for my grandkids.
The board have any questions of Ms. Arthur? Okay, Ms. Arthur, thank you.
Okay, thank you for listening.
Ms. Sangster?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the board's coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself?
I just want to say, before this had all happened, I was barely getting back my life back on track. I did have structure. I was getting up at 3:30 every morning. I was making coffee. I was getting my sister up for work. I would get ready, take her to work, come back home. I go run almost 3 miles every morning. By the time I got back home, I would get up, I'd get my kids ready for school, and I'd walk them to the bus stop, and I'd wait with them, and then I'd come back. And then I would go and exercise again, by then, it would be almost like 8 o'clock, 8:30. I would eat something, and then I'd take a shower, get ready for the day. And I was doing a lot of things. I was doing a lot of positive things. Like, when I got out, I dropped all my friends, because I know, you know, those are the friends that I don't need to be around, because those are all my bad friends that I had gotten into trouble with. I dropped all my friends. I started doing a lot of more positive things. You know, I went to go have lunch with my kids. We would have family night. We went camping. We went to go watch TV at my brother's. We watch movies together. We go and walk the dogs in the evening. And by the time my kids would come back from school, I'd go over there, I'd walk to the bus stop, and I'd pick them up and bring them home, and I'd cook. And then by then, we'd go walk the dogs again, come back. And that's what my day consisted of every day. I need that consistency to be back with my wife, with my kids. And I understand that I did mess up, and this was the only time, but I don't know what else to say. I was just at my weak point, and everybody's different. Everybody's not the same, and I'm sorry. And I know that this went further than it should have. And I know if I would have took these classes that I was supposed to be, that this wouldn't have happened. And I do know that I wasn't supposed to be drinking. And I think this is just a reality check. And I think God had brought me back. It wasn't supposed to happen. I believe that he allowed it for like a reformation, for like a molding process to make me a better person than I was before. And, you know, I'm very grateful that this happened now instead later on in life, because I don't ever want to go back down that road again, you know, and I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm so glad that I didn't go back on drugs. I never absconded from my parole officer. And I just want to have that consistency back in my life that I did before. And me and my family were very, very, very close. They're very supportive, and anything that you guys ask me to do, I'll do it. If you guys want me to take these classes, you guys want me to check in every week and do breath monitors, I'll do it.
So let me ask you one more question. So you have a FTA failure to appear on the disorderly conduct. Is that because you were incarcerated while you didn't go to court?
Yeah, and actually, I wrote to them, if that's the one from just recently, just now, I wrote to them, and I asked them if they can just postpone it, or if they can postpone it till I do get out, or if they can just kind of run it concurrent with my charge. But I think it's because I haven't been charged with it yet that they denied my paper. I have my paper right here, if you need them to fax it to you, but I do have the copy right here. And today, I'm supposed to go with my CO3, and we're supposed to call them early this morning, call them and see if they have walk in court, because I wanted to find out what's going on with this, because I don't want this hanging my over my shoulder. I just want to, you know, get out and just be back with my kids and my family. I need them. I need them the most right now.
Okay, the board's going to go into a discussion as we come up on a conclusion of your hearing. While the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line, and I need you to remain silent so that you can hear the conversation taking place with the board, okay?
Okay.
All right. The board is now into discussion. Seems as though Ms. Simpson was doing the right things that when she got out, and according to her mom, Ms. Arthur, she was taking care of kids and doing the things that she has. She did get in a physical altercation with her sister, Taylor. But according to the Ms. Arthur, that Taylor does have a temper, and Taylor's been in a fight with her mother, Ms. Arthur, and she's been in a fight with her brother Aaron and her brother Cody, according to Ms. Arthur. And according to Ms. Sangster, she tried to resist fighting with her sister, but she said her sister continued to fight with her and started to hit her with her weight, and she started to fight her back. And as a result of it, the two of them were arrested, and she had a parole violated for it. I think at this time I'm supportive of, I think Ms. Sangster, she's due to be released on February 16th of 2019, which is a few months away from now. However, willing to give Ms. Sangster another opportunity, since she doesn't have any prior criminal record. I shouldn't say she doesn't have any prior, because she But I'm willing to, it seems as though, according to her and her mom, that she was trying to turn her life around and got into it with her sister. She did start drinking after she received information about her daughter who had a tumor which she didn't know, and that disappointed, although that does not give that reason. But I'm willing to give her an opportunity to return her back to a community supervision. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Mr. Neal.
Well, sir, thank you very much. I don't know really her history is violence, drugs, and alcohol. And she gets out on community supervision, I know she was trying to get her life straightened out, but drinking alcohol when she's not supposed to, when she's had problems like that before, and then having a fight with her sister, and granted her sister may have attempted to, but it seems that this entire hearing has been about deflecting blame to somebody else or some other situation. I don't think that Ms. Sangster has really taken ownership of this situation and these kind of things in her life. And personally, as one voting member, I don't see her as a good candidate for return to community supervision. Thank you.
I think that, she does have a prior record, but I think she was trying to, turn her life around according to her mom, according to what she says and what her regular schedule was. And it's almost that the fight almost was more of a self-defense thing than anything else to provide it that she admits that she shouldn't know she shouldn't have been drinking the alcohol. And up until that time, she hadn't been drinking alcohol. I do believe that she hadn't been drinking alcohol up until that time. And her mother confirms that her daughter did have a tumor that was removed, and she didn't tell her that information. And rightfully so, as Ms. Arthur said, that, that she was incarcerated and there was nothing that she could do about it. She didn't think it was necessary. They did the information and took care of what they needed to take care of. I just think that Ms. Sinkster was trying to do right, and although she did drink alcohol that time, even if probably if she had not been involved in the physical fighting part, which really leaves the POs more opportunity once that happens, but to violate them. But if she probably would have been put on some program or something done with her about the drinking, I don't think they would have violated her for that purpose. And even doing so, the reason that she is violated is because of the physical assaultive behavior, which I think is understandable of that particular situation. So, is there any more comments? Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Johnson, I'm just concerned about the drinking. She knew she was not supposed to drink, and she drank anyway. That concerns me.
The time spent, this whole thing, from the time she was released until the fight was 3 weeks. So she was only out 3 weeks, and she's already drinking and drinking enough that she can't control herself in an altercation. So I'm really concerned about her being able to control herself if we were to vote to release her.
Mr. Dell.
On the humane side, I kind of hear what you're saying, Mr. Johnson, as far as Ms. Sangster turning the corner, that it was a very short amount of time. The short history is violence and drinking and drugs, and it just seems kind of consistent with that behavior. I certainly want to see Ms. Sangster turn the corner, but I don't know if I saw enough commitment to rehabilitation for that short period of time, to feel comfortable in returning her to community supervision. Pardon me. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and
make a motion. I'm going to say, I'm going to make a motion to, and then we can make a counter motion. I'm going to make a motion to continue Ms. Singster on community supervision with the same conditions that she actually has. That's going to be my motion. Along with some amended conditions, and I'm going to say, at least for me, those amended conditions would be that she must enter and successfully complete a treatment program that has substance abuse in it. Appeal to start revocation upon the first positive diluted or missed unsuitable for testing UA. And that no contact with the victim or current charge and no violation of discretion. So those would be, that would be my motion at this time. However, I'm going to do my motion, and I'll just go down, Mr. Neal, you disagree?
I didn't hear a second.
No. Well, we don't have a second, so.
Yeah, so the one was dead.
So this is dead, but you know, I still have to mark it. And then we have to make a substitute motion. Someone has to make a substitute motion.
I think we're all disagreeing since Lily seconded.
Huh?
I said I think we're all disagreeing because Lily seconded.
That's just I was going to mark it all disagreed and have someone make a
counter motion.
Counter motion.
I'll make a counter motion to revoke community supervision of Ms. Sangster as she was violating current condition of supervision and that after about lapsing the current ways of company very specifically drinking alcohol. And fighting. And that would be my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay, so the counter motion made by Mr. Moore, second of Ms. Hold on, I need to just change something on here. It was second by Ms. Rittenhouse, right? I'll let her write that in, it's not on the sheet. Mr. Condonis, agree. Dr. Wild, disagree. Mr. Johnson. Okay. So, Ms. Sangster? Hello?
Hello?
Okay, so during the discussion taking place along with the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on February 16th of 2019.
Okay.
You will be released from custody, and at that time, you won't be on any parole or community supervision. Try to get involved in any AA classes or NA classes while you're incarcerated, and if you're able to take any anger management classes while you're there, try to take an anger management class while you're there. But try to work with your CO3, come up with a plan that you can get into so that when you are released, that you'll be able to be a productive citizen, not have any more negative influence. Also, there are some programs within the Native American community that are excellent programs that you may be able to get into that will provide some assistance for you when you're released, okay?
All right.
Okay. Thank you for attending. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Please put the next second phone down so the next person can come in.